But here we are. And so those of you that are hanging with us through introduction part three, I honor you. I celebrate you. I'm thankful for you. And hopefully and prayerfully, this introduction will get you to focus on Jesus and on His Word and not on tradition or not on hearsays or not on human wisdom, not even on medical wisdom or psychiatry, but to focus on Him. We're a heaven of a lot better off when we focus on Jesus and when we take our guidelines from His Word. And all the people said, well, this is a part of reverse the curse. And what I mean by reverse the curse is that, you know, when Adam sinned in the garden, there was a divine sentence that came upon the earth, came upon all humans. And when Jesus came, He took the curse of the divine sentence and all that it meant on Himself on the cross. And He paid for it to be finished, that all those would that receive from Him could receive the blessing and not experience the curse. Now, the curse involves a number of different things, but He paid the price for it all. But I'm just announcing to you that everything that we walk in the Christian life is not by sight. We can't say it's by emotion. We can't even say it's by human wisdom. But everything that we walk in the Christian life is by faith. Provided by Jesus, that's grace. Applied by faith, that's our yes to the Lord, and we walk in it. And so I'm announcing to you that Jesus has so much for us in salvation than what we're walking in. Now that's part of why we're here. It's a journey of discovery. And the more we get to know Him, the more our mind is renewed by His Word, the more promises we walk in. I want to tell you something. Hey, Jesus has paid for it. It's done. But by faith, we apply His finished work to back up the curse. Put it back to reverse the curse. And I want to tell you, let's discover in our journey, while we're here, all that the Lord paid for, and let's learn how to apply it by faith and receive what He provided by grace to back up the reverse, back up the curse, back it on up. And I want to tell you, that's what makes this journey so exciting, because we love getting to know Him better and better. As Paul said, getting to know His love deeper and deeper, okay? And walking out our salvation that He provided. And I want to tell you, we don't have to settle for the curse. And so I'm just sharing with you that each of us have a lifetime project of salvation. Now, I'm not talking about working your way to heaven. I'm sure not talking about earning it. I'm talking about when you receive Christ, I want to tell you, you're saved, your spirit's saved. I want to tell you, it's beautiful, so exciting. We've done things on that. But your soul is a lifetime project. Okay? Your mind, will, and emotions, and I put a couple other things in there, but basically your mind, will, and emotions, that's a lifetime project. That's why that we practice, as Bible says, renewing the mind so that our soul is continually transformed by the renewing, rebuilding, or reprogramming our computer with the Word of God, so we can see what He says we really look like. And so then by faith we can apply it, and we can learn how to walk in it. It's a learning process. And so, and to eventually affect the body. We know that the body can be affected. We know that one day the body will be completely saved, because He's going to give us a new one. I'd be looking good like a Papa T should with that new body. But in the in-between time, between now and then, you know what? I can believe and trust in the promises of God for even my outside life to be touched by the supernatural. Because that's the way of faith. And he loves it when believers believe. So what I'm saying is that all of us, now there's some folk here that look like they got all their stuff together. I mean, you know, they're all that in a bag of chips and they just look good. And some don't. That don't bother me, because all of us, and I'm saying every human that's listening to me, some of us have outside gaps that are pretty obvious. Some of us have inside gaps. Some of those are pretty obvious. Some of them may be kind of undercover a little bit. Some of us, because the outside looks so good, we think it's all good on the inside. No. I'm just announcing to you that God's not finished with anybody yet. And so whether it's outside gaps, inside gaps, or both, I can say this: Jesus is the answer for every gap you have. And we're all on a journey. Somebody say all. You remember when I see all in Scripture, I say T-Hall. But I'm just announcing to you, we're all on a journey of restoration. We're all on a journey of renewal. We're all on a journey of the Lord developing us, building greater and greater foundation to learn how to walk being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm announcing to you, even though it's a gift from God, it's a learning experience how to apply it and how to walk in it. And so I want to tell you, God's designed every single one of us to mature. Now, even the mature need to continue to mature. And so I hope I'm drawing a picture for you. We are to continually in this life become more and more like Him. I'm just saying, you're a lifetime project. And I'm not laughing at you when I say it, because I'm well aware that I'm a lifetime project. Now the problem comes in is when we think we've arrived. And it happens a lot of times through isolation. I tell you, isolation's dangerous. God never designed you to be the Lone Ranger. Well, I said I was going to quit using that term because one of the teens pointed out to me the other day that, well, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Okay. But what I'm telling you, you know what I mean by Lone Ranger. You can't just separate from the body of Christ, my four, and no more. Because isolation's dangerous. You can have truth, and it can become a little askew. It can become a little out of balance. And it seems like it's no big deal at the time. But after a period of time, you can be, you know, that angle, it can be further away. And I'm just telling you, we need each other. When I was doing conferences, some of us would be speakers at different conferences. You know what I mean? I mean, the same speakers, different conference name, but we would kind of hang together at different places, you know, and we got to be friends. Some of us, you know, they put us in the same room and we could request, well, I really rather be with this guy. But, you know, same thing. And so what I recognize is that even people that are speakers at conferences, a lot of times they have that one heartbeat message. And you kind of hear that message wherever we were speaking, maybe a different part of the country. They would still be relating that heartbeat message, and whatever the theme was, we'd work that theme in. But you know what I'm saying? But there was one of the guys that he had this little sermonette. And I know what he was doing because I like that, but he was emphasizing that it's the Jesus now that's more important than, you know, the mindset of Jesus in the past, that we need to be aware of Jesus now. But he would go off and say things like this, that, you know, it don't matter what's happening to Israel, or it don't matter what's in the dirt in Israel. It's not about the sand in Israel. It's about Jesus now. And I know what he was saying, you know, and I enjoy what he was saying, but I also kind of warned him privately. I said, you know, I know what you're saying, but one of these days, in our conferences, you're going to have a Hebrew walk up to you. You're going to have a Jew walk up to you and say, what about me? Because there was a kind of a theme, and it's out there still, that You know, the Lord's replaced the Jews with the church. And I want to tell you something. Don't go there. I'm just telling you, leave the Lord alone with what he's going to do with the Jews. I'm telling you, he's got a plan. And it's in here. And sometimes we misinterpret what, even in the last days, I think, what he's going to do with the Jews and say, well, that means the church. Well, okay. He has a plan for the church. But don't forget, he has a plan for the Jews. And it's his heart for all Israel to be saved. And so don't be throwing any stones that direction. But I told him, I said, one of these days, well, I was there when it happened. And he met with me afterwards. He said, you know that thing we were talking about? I said, I know, I was watching. He said, well, you didn't come to my rescue. I said, no, I didn't. But he said, I might ought to be a little more sensitive to the Jews. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. And I said, amen. But see, I want to tell you, there's something about interacting with the body of Christ. Because all of us don't see as clearly as each other. All of us don't see from the same perspective. But we're still family. And so it's very, very important. I'm just going to say this to you. Even parts of the body of Christ that don't see eye to eye or don't dot the I and cross the T just like you, I want to tell you, we still need each other. And I think Billy Graham really got this through to me first many, many years ago, because he was being criticized by fellowshipping and ministering and sharing with different groups. And he said, listen, he said, even though I may not agree with them, I need to hear them, because I need to hear their heartbeat, because I'm looking for Jesus in them. I want to announce something to you. You're going to see what you look for. Be careful there. Because if you're focused on the negative, what are you going to see? If you're looking for something wrong, what are you going to see? If you're looking for Jesus, what are you going to see? If you're looking for an opportunity to love one another, what's going to happen? You see, hey, you see what you focus on. There's a deeper part of that. I shared it with leadership this morning. The deeper part of that is that you become what you focus on. And so that's why it's vital for us to look past maybe the differences, because there's a big difference between a conviction and a preference. Now, I want to tell you something. My wife prefers Mexican food. She can only speak one word in Mexican. I want to go to Mexican food. And I want to tell you, I go because I prefer her. Now, I would actually prefer maybe a different type of food sometime. But I want to tell you something. It's not a conviction. A conviction is something you would die for. A preference is something you prefer. And so even when I do get to minister in places that don't necessarily line up, one of the things I tell them is that, you know what, there's a whole lot more we agree on than what we would disagree on. And I'm here to serve, and I'm here to present Jesus, and I'm here to walk beside you. And so I just want to announce something to you. We need each other. And so if you're around someone who thinks they've arrived, just, I've told you before, just back up. When we believe that we're the only ones right, and we got it right, and everybody else is wrong, there could be some deception there. Could be. It could be a little spiritual pride there. Could be. But I'm just announcing to you, we continually need one another, just like your body continues to need every part of your body. There's a little, I say a little, there's a disease that's called an autoimmune disease. I say disease. It's actually, I think medical community has identified about 80 of them. It's kind of weird because the body doesn't recognize some of the cells or parts of the body as being a part of the body. They view some certain cells or a part of the body as an enemy. And so your own immune system that God's put in there to defend you and to knock off the enemies that come against your body, it begins to turn against itself. Now, boy, I'll tell you what hit me. It's not supposed to be that way. That's actually a type of perversion. Well, no, that's not the main message I have. The main message is the body of Christ, when something goes wrong in the body, is supposed to care for one another. Our journey is a healing journey. Restoration, renewal. Same thing Jesus is doing. We're a part of the body. What the head's doing, the body's to do. And so for the body to turn against the body and to become an enemy and begin to fight against the good, that's actually going against the Lord. That's actually going against the head. Now, I want to tell you, it's no doubt that infections come, and infections do come in the body of Christ sometimes. And so, but you know what we need to do? Minister the TLC. We need to minister health and healing. We're not the prosecuting attorney for the body of Christ. There's an enemy out there that's kind of his role, right? But I'll tell you what, sometimes surgery has to happen. In the body of Christ, when surgery has to happen, let's be very, very clear. Jesus is the surgeon, and he knows what he's doing. Let me announce something to you. In spite of what we look like sometimes, the Lord is preparing his bride. And I want to tell you, he does a good job. And he's promised to finish what he started. So our part is to cooperate with the surgeon, with the shepherd. And our part's to minister the healing. His part's to do the surgery. If we're going to miss, and I think you've probably heard me say this before, it's worth saying again. If we're going to miss, let's miss on the side of forgiveness, grace, and mercy. When you step over on the other side, you very well may be stepping outside your authority, and you may not have the relationship to do what you think needs to be done. Because ministry is either based on authority or relationship. And I want to tell you, if that's not you, then you know what? Our part is to focus on the healing side, the mercy and the grace side. And the Lord has in place what he needs to put in place in the body of Christ for the body to be healed. I love you. Okay, how are we doing? Are you with me, church?
Yes, amen.
Do I need to repeat it?
No.
Okay. So this is a healing journey for all of us. This life is. This is a deliverance journey for all of us. You say, well, I've already been there and done that. No, no, okay. This is a foundation journey for all of us. You say, well, I'm material. Well, there's more foundation to be laid. It's a wholeness journey for all of us. Okay? And the great news is that you can enjoy Jesus and you can enjoy others. You can enjoy ministering every step of the way. I'm so glad we don't have to be completely healed, delivered, foundation, renewed, well, in order to minister life to somebody else. If that was the case, who would do it? I'll tell you how precious Jesus is that he can take us where we are, and as we're following him, we can be ministering that same life he's ministering to us to other people. Now, that's a blast. And I'll tell you what it does. It helps us understand and have a realization that it's really not us, it's him. And that's exciting to the kingdom of God because it allows him to do all the more. You can have love life while the Lord's delivering you. You can have love life while the Lord's building foundation. As a matter of fact, the love life with the Lord is the most important ingredient in all of it. With your love life, joy life can be there. I'm telling you, as the Lord is bringing you up out of the pit, there are levels of joy for you to experience. In the middle, of all kind of disturbance that can come against your life, there is Jesus' joy available for us. There is peace life. There is victory life in the process. Okay? And it's not without battles. But he's always doing a good work in us to finish us to overcoming and to bring us to become more than conquerors. So don't stop, more than anything else, don't stop in your journey. We always need to walk with him. Sometimes I explain it like the layers of an onion. And the Lord's doing a work in us, and he lovingly brings something to the surface. And, you know, our proper response is to, oh, okay, Lord, yeah, that's not like you. And, oh, yeah, okay, that's a okay, I surrender it and submit it to you. And, Lord, I'm going to cooperate in your love life, your word, to be free or to be healed or to walk in greater wellness in this area. Now, when he gets through with one layer, you know, I want to tell you how gentle and how loving he is. He very well may bring up another level. The layers of an onion. And you say, wait, I just got through. No, no. His heart for you is deeper healing. His heart for you is a more complete place of wellness. Hey, his heart for you is greater maturity, greater dependence on him. And I want to tell you, he loves to work that in us to the more. And so this series, How to Reverse the Curse, is all about how to push back that divine curse that's been put on the human race, and to walk in greater freedom that he's provided through his finished works. How are we going to do this? By grace that's been provided by Jesus, and through faith. It's all appropriated by faith. Now, you know, we're big on divine protection. Psalm 91, man, we've talked about that for years now. Psalm 91, we don't have to walk in fear. There is a divine protection. But I want to tell you something. It still needs to be personally appropriated. It's fact. It's true. But the truth needs to be applied. And that application is not by works. It's by faith. So let's personally apply it. It's a personal journey. I want to tell you something. Your personal journey is to benefit the kingdom of God. It's not just for you. And it's vital to practice this intimacy with the Lord. That's why we talk about abiding in the Lord. And when we talk about abiding in the Lord, we're not talking about just visiting on Sunday. Come on now. You know what we're talking about, church. It's not just attending on Sunday. It's not just having a scripture of the day. And we're talking about abiding in the Lord. It means a continual. I like to say this. Let's linger in him. Let's linger in his presence. Let's savor the Lord's sweet presence. I honored my wife. Well, she's a great cook. She got a touch of her mama in her. And I know that Gina does too. And I want to tell you, I love that anointing and them cooking. I've told about Mother Mary that she could take a can of cat food, make it gourmet, just by touching it. But I announced to Mother Mary one time over at one of the feasts over at her house. See, I get invited, you know. And so I announced one time at the feast over at her house. I don't know if she remembers this. She probably does. She tries to forget some of the things I say, but she probably remembers this. I just titled her the mayor of Flavortown. Yeah. Well, I told my wife this week, you know what? You're the president of Savor City. Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you, think about the Lord in this. It's in him to where we're to linger. Linger in his love. Don't just wave at it when you go by. Abide means to camp out. Stay there. In his sweet presence. How long has it been since you've spent a while in his sweet presence? And not only that, we're to saturate our mind with his words. It's his words. The words of the way, because he shows us the way. The words of his truth, because his truth exposes those lies and deceptions that get us off track. Hey, his words of life, because his words of life chase away darkness. That's Jesus. 1 John 2:12. Let's look at some word. I'm writing to you, young ones of Freedom Life Fellowship. This is an affectionate term. I'm writing to you, loved ones of Freedom Life Fellowship, because of his name's sake, your sins are forgiven. Now, I want to tell you, that's fact, but it's truth that'll continually set you free. We're pardoned through his name. That's the way the Amplified brings it out. We're pardoned through his name on account of confessing his name. This is what happens when you accept Christ. You say, well, I've messed up since then. I'm telling you the way God sees you. This is what God says about you. We know, hey, you may have messed up this week a number of times. You may have had an attitude of attitude. Okay, but I'm telling you, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you. So you need to put your name on that. Now, I'm not going to get techno with you, and you know, I get told I invent words every week, okay, so I'm not an English major. But one of the things that's clear that I love about this is that this, in the Greek, is perfect tense. Now, what that means is that it's once and for all with continuing results. Don't you love that? Once and for all with continuing results. Similar, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are justified, we're acquitted, we're declared righteous. This is what God says. We're given a right standing with God because of Jesus. We have a right standing with God. Aren't you glad it's not because of you, it's because of him? Yeah. How do we apply this? He tells us, verse 1, through faith. By faith, it's done, it's done, it's done. But the way we appropriate it is by faith. And he says, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Now, what I want to say is one word to kind of wrap this part up, and it goes like this. We're to possess it. This justification, your forgiveness, is something that we're to hold, something that we're to enjoy. You know what that means? That means you personally possess it. Now, I want to tell you what this is. This is present tense. It's right now. Okay? We have the peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have our access. We have entrance, introduction. How do we walk into the presence of God? How do we have continual fellowship with God? It's not because of us, it's because of him. It was paid for on the cross. How do we possess that? How do we possess that peace, that assurance? How do we possess that fellowship, intimacy with the Lord? By faith into his grace. Because his grace paid for it, by faith we get to receive it. Come on, somebody. And so as a result, this is how, because of God's favor, this is how we firmly and safely stand. It's not based on us, it's based on him by faith. This is how we do this. And so as a result, we're free to rejoice and exult in our hope. We have hope, expectation of God's goodness in our future tomorrows. How do we do that? Because we have the hope of experiencing this in reality. Experiencing this in this life and enjoying the glory of God in this life. That's good. We have forgiveness and peace. That's present tense right there. Continually active, we have it by faith. So we're to possess our forgiveness. We're to possess our peace. We're to possess and enjoy our intimacy and our fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the more. And so there's more of us to apply here. You're always forgiven. Now the enemy tries to condemn, but you're always in peace. But the enemy tries to disturb your peace. You understand? You are forgiven. But the enemy wants to come and trouble your heart. Yeah. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. How do we do that? By believing. That's what he said. Well, wait a minute. By faith, let's continue to practice possessing and experiencing and enjoying the more of the glory of God. The more. Anybody want to enjoy the more? Yeah. He's provided it. Well, let me tell you this. I love you so much. There's so much I want to tell you right quick. I'll tell you what. Let me go here, and I'll just do as much as I can. Fill your heart and mind with the love of the healer, the restorer, the deliverer. I know it's possible sometimes for, and sometimes it's taught that, you know, you just seek your healing, or you just seek your provision, or you just seek your deliverance. But I want to tell you, I'm announcing to the body of Christ, don't just seek your healing. Don't just seek health or seek wealth. Seek Him. I want to tell you, the key is enjoying Him, is seeking Him, being a part of Him. And so fill your heart and mind with the love, with His love. Saturate your being with His words. Hope comes from that. Faith is sparked from that. But I want to tell you, one of the first battles, this is why you got to practice this, one of the first battles is unbelief, to get you off track. Mark 9:22, Jesus showed us about how to deal with unbelief. Man, here's a little guy. His son is demonized. His son, man, this demon's trying to kill his son. I want to tell you, the enemy has spirits assigned to destroy marriages, to destroy people. Because Jesus exposed him and said he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your purpose. I want to tell you, look at this. Because this is how to deal with one of the things that the enemy uses to get us off track. He tells Jesus, this demon has often thrown my boy into the fire and into the water trying to kill him. But if, everybody say if. I want to tell you, that's a small word, but that's a big word. The biggest word in these verses is two letters, if. Wait a minute. If you can do anything, do have pity and help on us. Now, a lot of churches say that's a great prayer. If your will. If your will. If it's your will. I want to tell you, watch out now. It's a big word. But you know what that word says? Which side of the tug of war are you on? Are you on the faith side or are you on the unbelief side? Because if leans to unbelief. Wait a minute, there's more. Let's look at Mark 9 and verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said, you say to me, wait a minute now. Hey, come on. Put yourself there. You say to me, if you can do anything. Why? All things can be and are possible to him who believes. So what side of the tug of war rope are you on? Are you on the unbelief side or are you on the faith side? Are you on the fear side or the faith side? Are you on the disturbed side or the peace side? Are you on the civil war side or are you on the love side? Wait a minute. We're talking about kingdom here. The Father caught it. And he was open and honest. I love this. The Lord wants you to be open and honest. If you're doubting, be honest. If you're disturbed, be honest. If you're mad in civil war, be honest with God. He's not shocked. He needs to hear it so he can deal with you. As long as you're holding on to it, it's yours. But once you release it, confess it and submit it, it becomes his. And he can do something with it. Is that great news? At once, the father of the boy gave an eager, piercing, inarticulate cry with tears. You know what that was? Calf rope. He hollered surrender. Open and honesty before God. He loves it. This didn't offend the Lord. He loves it. He's got to bring us to this place where we admit that there's an if there. There's doubt, speculation, or unbelief there. But when we surrender it to him, when we bring it to the light, he can deal with it. And this is what he said. With tears, he said, now look, there's an exclamation part here. Which means he didn't say, well, Lord, I believe, help me. No, it wasn't like that. It was exclamation. He was at the end of the end. That's where we get a new beginning. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, I believe. Help my weakness. Help my unbelief. I want to tell you, I love YLT, Young's, NLT, New King James Version. All those bring it out to what it is. And when you look it up in the Greek, it all goes back to this word, unbelief. Unbelief. You say, well, it says in my Bible, weakness of faith. Well, I want to tell you what it is. It's unbelief. Okay? Unbelief will hinder your faith. Tug of war. You remember tug of war? Faith and unbelief are a tug of war. It's very prevalent. Which side are you on? If there's faith, you say, well, I do have a little bit of faith. That's more than enough faith. Because I want to tell you, it's Jesus' kind of faith in you. Not something you worked up. It's Jesus' faith that he put in you. And so I'm here to announce something to you. If there's faith in the presence of unbelief, faith can win. Why? Because the Lord's given us a helper with our tug of war. He's called Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will bring us into victory. Okay? We got to lean on, rely on. Which side are we on? Put action into faith in spite of the fiery darts. In spite of the fiery darts. Look, some people are waiting on the type of faith, well, where there's no doubt, no speculation, no unbelief. No, hey, wait, time out. It's faith in the presence of fear. Yes. It's faith in the presence of fiery darts. Yes. It's faith in the presence of things hitting your mind, where you cry out to the Lord like this man did and said, Lord, I choose you. I'm in a battle here, but I choose you. And I want to tell you, Holy Spirit comes alongside on that side of the tug of war. And I want to tell you, faith wins. So it's faith in the presence. It's the courage of God given to you in the middle of a battle. And so it's not the absence of, it's in the middle of. You know what we do? We yield, we submit, we give allegiance to the Lord. That's what he's looking for. We receive it as done in the invisible before it's visible. Everything we receive and walk in is by faith, provided by grace. It's got to be received and appropriated by faith. A lot of Christians are just waiting on God to do it. He's done it. He wants to help us receive it. He's a rewarder of faith. He's a rewarder of faith. Your first priority is not healing. It's intimacy with the healer. We say, that's why we say, don't pursue health and wealth by itself. Pursue Jesus. His benefits are obviously received. A-S-K. Ask, seek, and knock till you see him. Seek him till you see him. You get a revelation of Jesus. I'm telling you, fill your heart and your mind with Jesus, with his love life. Healing is a grace gift. Deliverance is a grace gift. Those of you that have addictions, deliverance is a grace gift. It's already paid for. And so, but we got to personally make it ours. We got to put our name on it. As I shared with you in the scripture, we need to possess it. Possess it. Some immediate, some of it's progressive, but I want to tell you, it's all celebrated. That's why we love to say here, we love to celebrate progress, because it's Jesus in action in your life. I think sometimes we may be the ones that determine the speed of everything. I think that. But I want to tell you something. If Jesus is actively at work in your life, it's a good work. And I want to tell you, it's a continual work. That's why he encourages us to persevere in him, because he's not finished yet. And he wants to bring us to victory and to conquering and overcomer. And so that faith and unbelief, that tug of war, I'm announcing to you good news. God's a rewarder of faith. I describe it, not everybody agrees with this. It's okay. Don't make it a test of fellowship. But the 30, 60, 100-fold of increase just touches me. Because I want to tell you something. When you're experiencing the pit and you have 30% progress, that's amazing progress. We have precious little Ruth back there. She's a little woman of faith. I want to tell you, I'll never forget, they were just a week away from putting her on dialysis. Well, I went over to the house. We agreed on a few things. She put just a few things in practice. Main thing is to trust in the Lord and rely on the Lord. But I want to tell you, it was an amazing news the next week before they put her on dialysis that she had like a 30% increase in her kidneys. I want to tell you, that was great news. I want to tell you, that shocks the medical world. Because once they put you on the vampires, excuse me, that's what I call them. Once they put you on them vampires, a lot of people don't ever get off. As a matter of fact, they consider, I told you this, Ruth, I'm not picking, because you're on the victory side, you're progressing. But I want to tell you, when they put you on the vampires, if you live 5 more years, they consider that a victory. And so I'm telling you, hey, it was great news. Now, I want to tell you, wait, because, you know, Ruth and I have talked about this. What do you think it's going to be like with a 60% increase? You know what that, Ruth, how exciting is that? Because that means that you're 60% more aware of health than you are of any kind of trouble or trial like that. Wait, with Jesus, 30, 60, 100%. What do you think he wants 100% for you? Well, he paid for it. He needs to get what he paid for. He wants what he paid for you and for others. What a testimony of inspiration that she is when she testifies of progress, because the Holy Spirit says this to a lot of people: what I've done for her, I can do for you. Maybe a completely different area, but that sounds like our Jesus. How is this possible? By faith. Look at Mark 9:28-29. This is Jesus dealing with some blind men, and I just love to read about these, but and meditate on these. I hope you do. We're going to be giving you a lot of scripture in these series for this. And the more you meditate on it, the more you let the Lord love on you with this truth, hope will come up. And when hope comes up, he paints a picture in your heart for you to be healed, or you to be delivered, or you to be restored, or you to be renewed, or you to be founded, have some foundational truth, some more concrete in your life. See, he paints this picture of hope. And then with hope, faith comes on top of that. The faith to say yes to God in that area. Wow. Faith to apply it, to possess it, to make it yours. Are we making this plain? I hope we are. When he reached the house and went in, this is Jesus, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, listen to this, do you believe? See, this is a big question. It's a big question today. And just like the guy said, oh, if, oh Lord, help. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Boy, he loves this. Listen at this right here. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, I want to tell you, you may say, well, that's a little word. No. Just like if, that two little word is a big word in the spiritual realm. Yes. Why yes? Those three letters are a big word in the spiritual realm. Because when you begin saying yes to Jesus, sometimes it means saying no to you. Sometimes it means saying no to your previous thought pattern. Sometimes it means saying no to your lifestyle. Sometimes it means saying no to you, yes to him. But when you start saying yes to him, I'm telling you, activate. Faith is activated. That's what faith is. Yes to the Lord. And so what are we saying in our journey? This little grandfather in California. That's the next stop. Colorado, this little granddad in Colorado, 80-something years old. And he shared with me all the things in his life and all the reasons why he was disqualified from Jesus. And when I said, all that don't count, he said, what do you mean? He said, I don't do the Bible, never have. I said, that's not going to disqualify you right now. He said, I'm not a church guy, don't go to church, don't do that. I said, that's not going to disqualify you. Well, I'm just not a believer, you know. And he said, besides, I've done a lot of bad things you don't know about. I said, that don't disqualify you. He said, what do you mean? I said, Jesus paid a supreme price for it all. He took your whooping. He took your unbelief. He took your lack of church attendance. He took your lack of respect to the word. He took all of that on him on the cross so you could be forgiven, so you could know him and know his love. He said, it can't be that simple. I said, it is. He said, well, what do I have to do? I said, your part is just to say yes to him. He said, that's it? I said, you don't know how much he wants you. Because he wants you to know him. He wants to love on you. Let me say something to the body of Christ. You don't know how much he wants to heal you. You don't know how much he wants to comfort you. You don't know how much he wants to heal your memories. Huh? Those haunt you? I want to tell you, you don't know how much he wants to set you free from addictions. Because that's the real Jesus. And I want to tell you, your part is to say yes. And I want to tell you, I told him, I said, I'm going to pray this prayer. I said, I've prayed it with thousands of people. And when I come to the end, if you really mean this, if you're going to surrender to the Lord and make Jesus, you just say yes to him. He said, that's it? He said, yeah, I want to do that. I said, let's own. And so I went through a prayer, just a simple prayer, and I got down to the end, and he said, yes! Now, he didn't have to say it that loud, but I loved it. And you know what? There was an immediate difference in his countenance. He gave a report just about 30 minutes later. I got this. I know what you're saying. There had been a personal witness in his life. You say, well, it can't be that simple. Well, look what Jesus did here. Then he touched their eyes, saying, you see, that's what we need. We need that touch from Jesus. According to your faith and trust and reliance. I love this because this is what we say at weddings. By the power invested in me. Now, we usually say by the Lord's word or the Lord and the power of the state or something like that. But I want to tell you what Jesus was saying. According to your faith in my Father. According to your trust in my Father. So what do you think about God? By the power invested in me. You know, he didn't do this on his own. It was Father's investment in him. That's how we operate. Same way, he was showing us, this is how we operate by the power invested in us. He said, be it done to you. It's done. It's made so. It's yours. It's an amen to you. So be it to you. So I'm just telling you, you change your belief, you change your life. The everlasting life of Jesus is past, present, and future. We don't wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the everlasting life. God's best is God's will for you. God's best is God's word for you. So be in the word. God's best is God's way for you. So start choosing God's way and not your way. I get this question, so I'm just going to kick it out and I'm fixing to wrap up, okay? I see the time, so thank you. But it goes like this. I get this question sometime. Well, did Jesus heal everybody on earth? Why didn't he? No, he didn't heal everybody on earth. He didn't even heal everybody that was in a situation. You think about the lame man for a number of years and everything. There was a number of people there at the pool. But I want to tell you what. They weren't trusting in the Father. They were trusting in the water. You say, well, he was there. Well, see, this is how we know Father knows hearts. Because he's able to read hearts. And I'm announcing to you, he's able to read your heart this morning. We don't always know everybody's hearts. Because people can say, I believe. And on the inside, they say, it ain't ever going to happen to me. Jesus knows the heart. And I want to tell you something. Jesus knew the heart of that man. And I want to tell you, he was healed. No, he didn't heal everybody on earth. No, he didn't clear out all the hospitals, even though I don't think there were hospitals in. But I want to tell you this. So don't park there. Jesus never refused to heal anyone that came to him. Never refused it. Okay. He never placed sickness on someone to teach him a lesson. You never hear him saying, oh, wait a minute. You know, you got, No. Hey, I'm going to put a little sickness on you. You need to learn a few things. He never did that. We don't ever see that. He never did that. He's the perfect reflection of Father's heart and Father's will. When you see Jesus operating, you say, that's what God wants. Are you with me? All right, let me show you in Scripture, John 5:19. So Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, it's kind of like what your mama used to say, boy, you better be listening to me. What I'm saying is the truth, and I'm going to back it up. Well, that's what he's saying. Everything Jesus said was true, but boy, when he started out saying, hearken, hearken, or truly, truly, you best put a star by it. The Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord. See, he didn't operate on his own. He wasn't doing his own thing. He was just doing what Father said. But he's able to do only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. So in other words, he's just saying this. What you see me do, it's not me. I'm looking at Father, and I'm seeing what Father's doing in the invisible, and I speak it and say it and touch it in the visible. Wow. Okay, you want some more? Here it is. I'm wrapping up, so hang on here. Verse 28, so Jesus added, when you've lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you'll realize and know and understand that I am he for whom you look. A lot of people are looking for answers. But I want to tell you what you need to go back to. This was before the cross. Now we're after the cross. You need to go back and look at the cross. Because when you look at the cross, the finished work is your finished answer. This is it. I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father is saying to me, what He's taught me. And He who has sent me is ever with me. Now see, that's important information right there. That's what we believe. That's why He said to the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in Father, you believe in me. He's with me. We're with Him. My Father's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. In other words, He's saying it's about Him and not about me. Now that would set forth the kingdom of God in motion in our lives in places where we haven't seen Him operate yet. It's when we make it about Him and not about us. Whoa, man, wouldn't that be fun, as the granddaughters say? Won't that be fun? All right. 17 times. I didn't look this up myself. I got it. Other information, but it's good stuff. 17 times Jesus healed all the sick that were present. Is that amazing? I mean all. Remember, when I see all, I say T. Hall. 17 times He healed all that were present. 41 other times Jesus healed one or two at a time. I'm saying this. Because salvation is not limited to one spoke on the wheel. Hey, He came for you to have His abundant life in all areas of your life. Salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. He paid the same price for everything. That's what sozo means. It is healing. It is restoration. It is deliverance. It is provision. It includes a whole lot more than what we're walking in. But historically, the church took a turn and started preaching that it was only a ticket to heaven. Well, that's all we believe for. Well, I want to tell you, let's look at Jesus. If it was God's will for you to be sick, Jesus went against His Father by going around healing people. Do you see that? Acts 10:38. This is my last scripture. Look at this. God anointed, so see, God's in on this because Jesus didn't do anything on His own, by His own authority, own power. He didn't say His own words. He just didn't see what the Father was doing. God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. That's what He's done for us. He's anointed us with the Holy Spirit, believers. And He's anointed us and He's consecrated us with the authority of Jesus, okay? With strength and ability and power. How He went about doing good. He didn't go about doing bad. He didn't come to the earth to condemn people. He came to the earth to forgive them, to restore them to a relationship with Father. Went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. Why did He do that? Because God was with Him. I would love someone like the Chosen to do a scene of this, because the Bible declares that with a word He healed them and sent spirits running out of there with a word. Well, I'd love to see that. But see, that's Jesus. You know why? Because that's Father. Right? He still is doing this. And He's doing it by His word, by His Spirit, and by us. So, I got to ask this question. It may be a hard question, but it's something for you to think about on. What's your first response when you have a need? Come on now. You have a financial need. Your first response, a credit card? Oh, I got this card. Wait a minute. You got a headache? Is your first response medicine cabinet? Wait, I'm just sharing with you. I'm not against medicine. If you're in debt, well, I'm getting out of debt. I'm not throwing any stones at you. I believe we need to get out of debt. I'm trying to. I'm working on it. The Lord's helping me. I'm believing for that. Hey, I'm not against you taking medicine. The Lord can use medicine. What I'm asking is this. What's your first response? Who's your first responder? Because I want to tell you what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to be your first responder. He wants to have the first word. Dr. Jesus wants to have the first word. Well, my doctor said, okay, thank God for doctors. But wait a minute, what did Dr. Jesus say first? Oh, well, if it come down to it, I'll pray. No, I'm trying to make you smile, but I got that call the other day. Well, brother, we tried everything. I guess it's come down to prayer. Okay. Well, don't let Jesus be your last responder. Now, I'm going to announce something to you. I see Jesus touch people no matter what because he loves so much. He wants more than you want for salvation to be manifested in your life. But I want to tell you something. You honor the Lord. Your life belongs to the Lord. Your heart belongs to the Lord when he's your first response. Let him be your first response. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we shall do, let's let it all bring honor and glory to God, not glory, honor and glory to yourself or honor and glory to the world. You say, why you bring up the food thing? Well, because when you have an emotional need, do we go to the comforter, Jesus himself, and let him love on us, let him minister to us? Or do we say, I believe an ice cream would make me feel better? Come on now. I believe if I had me a big old plate of nachos, I would be a little better off. No, I'm sharing with you because I'm sharing reality with you. Now look, the Lord's working on me, so I'm not throwing stones at you, but I am saying this to you. Is that if you have to have a little liquid courage in order to go to a family event? No, this was real. Just spoke to this with somebody not too long ago. Well, I got a family event. I'm going to drink it up before I go because, you know, whew, they're a mess. Yeah, they are a mess. They're a mess, okay? But wait a minute. What happened to Jesus being your first responder? Why not get with the Lord and let him minister peace to you? And you go, let your cup be overflowing, not necessarily with liquid courage so you could face everybody and smile, but with an overflow of peace so you can go in and minister peace at the Civil War. And when they say and throw darts at you, you can smile and hold up that shield of faith and just know it's bouncing off.
Yes, Lord.
Is anybody listening?
Yes, Lord.
Well, don't you know this gets big offerings, this kind of talk. Look, addictions are serious, and we deal with all kinds of them, okay? I'm continually dealing with sexual addictions in people, and I don't want to, but I want to tell you, Jesus wants to set people free, because you have to get on your hip waders and get off in the middle of it, and it takes a while, okay? It's a process, but I want to tell you, it's a journey. Jesus, his light and his power is greater than any addiction. If it's an addiction to porn, or if it's an addiction to street drugs, or if it's an addiction to pain drugs, don't tell me that don't happen. I'm telling you, Jesus is greater than any addiction. Are we saying yes? Is he our first responder? Are we saturating our mind and our heart with his love and with his word? Because with his word is how we're transformed. And if you're not in his word and being saturated in the word, you're not taking it seriously. You just want God to do something for you, but God's wanting to do something in you in order for you to receive all that he has for you. I hope that made sense, because I don't know if I can say it just like that again. I love you so much. Why don't you bow your head and let's seek the Lord together. And he paid a price. I want to tell you, your addictions do not bring him honor and glory unless they're surrendered and submitted to him. But when you surrender and submit, see, you have to be honest about it. If you're defending your addictions, I'm amazed. I dealt with a pastor with a sexual addiction, and he actually had a verse to share with me. I'm telling you, if you defend your addiction, you're saying no. If you surrender and submit in an honest, submitted to the Lord will work it out for your good and His glory. So yes, your sickness can bring Him glory if it's surrendered and submitted to Him and allow Him to work in it, to work His work through you and in you. It's more than just a healing. If you come to God for just a financial provision or just a healing or just a deliverance, and then you go about to live your own life, I want to tell you, the enemy can steal what God's given. And you know what? He can even make it in a worse place. But I want to tell you, church, there's great hope in Jesus. Well, Brother Tim, I don't know how to reverse the curse. I'm telling you, we don't focus on the curse. We focus on Jesus. The way to reverse the curse is to receive and follow Jesus. I'm announcing to you, receiving the blessing renounces the curse. My, that sounds like Jesus. Well, Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you that your word is ever clear. Holy Spirit, come and cause your word to be ever clear in our hearts. And I just speak in Jesus' name for great hope to arise and come forth in the heart of your people. I declare that spiritual eyes and ears are open to see, Lord, the great more that you have won for us by your finished works. And that your hope will arise in our hearts to see that we are so loved, that you want to love us into the abundant life that Jesus paid for. Lord, we bless your mighty name. We pray you receive much honor and glory in our lives, in this church, and Lord, in our journey with you. We give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Amen.